Well, because it's really great, I think. I mean, it's really a brilliant piece of theater from the theater point of view and from the music point of view and also from the dancing point of view, which is why we wanted to do it. It was also conceived around the same time the Kranert Center was being conceived. And since this is a big birthday present to Kranert Center, it came to mind. Also because it calls upon the three different disciplines that are coming together sort of equally and well.
Mm-hmm. Latrell, how about from your perspective?
Why has it lasted? I think in part because it was pretty pivotal as a musical back in 1966. It was breaking some rules and some boundaries. And as we've been able to break more rules and boundaries over time, the piece has transformed into something probably more akin to what Harold Prince might have wanted it to be back in 1966.
What are some of those rules and boundaries?
Oh, kind of rules of the book musical. This really takes a lot of liberty with different styles of music. So partly it feels like there's this cabaret world, and partly it feels like a typical book musical with light show tunes that you can remember and hum out in the lobby at intermission. There's a love story, but there's no real ingenue character. I was saying this to Connor the other day. He plays Cliff Bradshaw. He's the most ingenue of the characters, and he doesn't fit the mold. So it was kind of breaking some boundaries.
Not a lot of heroes.
Not a lot of heroes, and it's interesting to think as audience members who we might relate to at the end.
Mm. And this musical takes place in a very interesting time in history as well, during the Weimar Republic, kind of the late 1920s, very early 1930s. How does that historical setting really kind of factor into this musical? Maybe Latrell, I'll start with you there.
Yeah, so it sits in this interesting place of post heyday of the Weimar Republic years, and our story starts New Year's Eve, just a few months after the Wall Street market crash of 1929. And that had great ripple effects throughout Europe, but particularly to Germany, because, you know, America was pouring a lot of money in there, and then all of a sudden it couldn't. And then also, there had been a 1928 election where the Nazi Party had, I think they had gained a few seats and had 12, but by September 1930, which is a few months after our story ends, they are going to jump from 12 seats to 106. There are going to be almost a little bit more than 6 million people who vote that party in, making it like the second largest party at that particular time. So this story sits in the fervor of that political unrest of all of these different parties kind of jockeying for power. But the Nazi Party had predicted that we shouldn't be depending on, or that they shouldn't be depending on America for money. The stock market crashes, their prophecy comes true, and people are looking for a savior.
This show certainly does give a great opportunity for costuming to really take center stage in a lot of ways. Talk a little bit about the costuming in this show, Latrell.
Yeah, all three departments really wanted to go all out with this particular production, and not all productions have this kind of budget to be able to costume the Kit Kats and the clubs separately for each number, but we were able to do that. And so we were also able to kind of help tell the story in the arc of kind of the lavishness at the beginning, the great amount of individuality during the Weimar Republic and this, you know, spirit of sexual freedom and expressing yourself, and how all of that is stripped away over time. And so we're able to kind of show that through the costumes. And Samantha did a beautiful job. It's a lovely color palette, too. It's just, rich.
It's rich. Mm-hmm. You know, there's another theme besides the political parties, or maybe as part of the political discussion, which is apathy. Mm-hmm. I think most voiced by Sally Bowles' character. But we start to see a lot of, like, of drug use during the show. And by the second act, all of those fabulous big production numbers that most people think of when they think of Cabaret have really disappeared. And it's an astonishing, I think, collapse.
Yes, it is.
I just don't know any other works like this where it's short and dark. I think there are some very clear parallels without drawing them too distinctly right now with our time and that time, and probably any time in that time. Gender fluidity is a big something we really call attention to in this show. That was always in the show, but right now that really resonates.
Yeah.
The rise of fascism and apathy at the same time seems to be another theme. So one reason that we were really glad to do it is it's our way of teaching both the audience and the students about whatever history or just culture, how it works.